Good morning. Thank you. Happy birthday. That was yesterday. 36 hours of birthday celebration for...
Plus today.
Yeah, birthday. You know what? At a certain point, you just need to keep celebrating, right? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say this, "When you were spiritually dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God the Father made you alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ by preordaining that you believers in Christ would be placed into union with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions." Colossians 2:14. "Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken the debt out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So the cross moved you from the slavery of a lifestyle of law to the freedom of a lifestyle in the sphere of grace. And because of this, we believers in Christ are filled with a joy inexpressible. As we prepare for Bible study, you can ask yourself, what has God put in my life which gives me joy? And so the Word of God refers to Bible study as the time of renewing, a great time to let God renew your joy. God the Holy Spirit fills your deficiencies of thought with the truths of the Word of God, and then he unveils to you the plan of God the Father for your life. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Literally, the Lord is suggesting that he wants his joy to keep on filling the deficiencies in your joy, regardless of what circumstances might be your present reality. And he has made perfect provision for our happiness. And we simply choose to let his happiness pervade our lives. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. "As you think about the things you have done in your life that the Lord no longer remembers." The opening song, "He Remembers to Forget."
Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world, all you need is to believe. God wants none to perish, your sins aren't a memory. Remember.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to remember to forget the past, to lay down the burdens of yesterday, to have the same memory that you do, a memory filled with the good things you have in store for us in our glorious future. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep and intimate and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's study, God's unconditional love for us promises us a future of glory. God's unconditional love for us promises a future of glory. First, a few announcements, then the offering, and then we'll transition into our celebration of the Lord's Supper. So announcements, mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper after today is May 12th, 2013, and it is also our Mother's Day celebration. Mark your calendar. No face-to-face Bible class next week, April 21st, so we will not be here. However, the deacons are posting lessons. And so you can look for lessons online, but we won't be here. Mark your calendars. Homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation, June 15 and 16. Weekend being coordinated by Deacon Caleb Alburn and Mandy Alburn, and registration is on the website. How's that coming along? 15 people are registered, so I know there's more people coming than that. So you guys who haven't registered, please get that done, so that we can know how many people to plan for. And Pastor John Farley will be joining us for the event on Saturday. So really looking forward to having him out here, and he's looking forward to coming. Mark your calendars, the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference, August 9th. Looking forward to that, too. I think we had about 6 or 7 people registered so far, and it's far enough in advance where it's understandable why that number is low. But I want a lot of you resident folks going up there and supporting John and Monica Miller. They've been putting this conference on for a while now. And Coeur d'Alene's a great place to go in August, so save your ducats and come on up, and let's give a show of support for people who are supporting us as well. Mark your calendars. No Bible study June 30, August 25th. That's a new date. September 1st, December 8th, December 29th. So those are, and again, we're going to always try to post lessons on those weeks when we're not here. So it's a whole different experience this year than last year, because when we said no Bible study, there was nothing. So, and I'm really excited about giving the deacons the opportunity to express themselves and to share the things that they're learning in application about the subject matters that we are addressing. Happy birthday to me. Thank you. So I started my birthday celebration yesterday in Europe, and so I had about a 36-hour birthday. But most of that was spent on a plane with flight attendants getting me intoxicated at altitude, which is a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's funny. I don't understand what kind of effect I have on female flight attendants, but they just like giving me free liquor. And I don't get that, but I like that. No, I wasn't in business class. I was in steerage. I was in the back. But thank you for all those of you who have sent me birthday wishes that I haven't responded to yet, but it was a little difficult to respond when there was no internet. So I'll get to those responses in the next day or so. Happy birthday also to Shep Pomeroy. This is Mark Pomeroy's dog. Isn't he cute? He's so sweet. Big old German Shepherd. And so he and I are celebrating, and he sent me a birthday card. So I think that's really cool. Happy birthday to John Miller up in Coeur d'Alene. John is a great man. And, you know, I've been talking about the idea of us having to win the hearts of our children in the subject matter of unconditional love. Well, John is a guy who has won the heart of his wife. And I think that men have to win the hearts of their wives, too. And that is not always an easy matter. Women make it a lot easier for us to do, which is their graciousness. But, you know, John is definitely a guy who has won his wife's heart, and a man that I admire very much. And then Andre Vallejo. Hey, mijo. Bendejo, happy birthday. Is that bad? Is that a bad word in Spanish? My boy, he's no longer a teenage cretin. He's 20 years old. He's over in Texas going to school. And happy birthday. I knew I liked something about you, and your birthday is right next door to mine. And then happy birthday to Rachel Johnson coming up. So, April 26th, we're going to say this a whole bunch of times because Rachel is the bomb. And the Bra Ministries Women's Fundraiser is April 19th at 7 p.m. And it is called A Taste of Bra. A Taste of Bra. By the way, this note just in, the men's panty raid has been canceled when it was found out that Bra Ministries women do not wear panties. So that's okay. I'm sorry. All right, so here's the deal. Hey, just calm down. I did not write that. That was written. It's right here for you to inspect. I did not write that. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. All right, so is there a flyer on the back, in the back? With this, yeah? Oh, it says the 18th on here, but it's really the 19th? So I actually have it correct? Okay, that's amazing. I'm amazing. Thank you. So I'm going to talk to you guys about this. I had an idea about this. So who's coordinating this? Is this you, Susie? Are you coordinating this? All right, cool. So here's the deal. You guys should go. Is there going to be wine there? And hors d'oeuvres? Oh, yeah. And hors d'oeuvres. Right. So what you should do is you should go to a place like Total Wine. And they always have wines that they have, but they can't get rid of, but they're pretty good wines. And so just go to the manager and tell them that you're having a wine tasting. And if they would like to donate wine to the wine tasting, you will in exchange have the people that come to the wine tasting come to their place, right? And so they'll give you about 5, 6, 7 bottles of wine free of charge. And then you just make sure that people go over there and say, oh, I had that thing. Oh, it was great. And I'm buying, see, something, see. Because you guys are winos anyway. So you're going to buy your wine from somewhere, so you might as well buy them there. And then you find an hors d'oeuvres place and do the same thing. Go to the manager and say, you give us some hors d'oeuvres for this deal, and we'll come over and have our lunches here. And then you get all this stuff for free. You see what I mean? And then all of a sudden, the no cost, so the contribution, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so, you know, go to the manager. I'm good at getting free anything. That's right. So, yeah. And people want to do that, by the way. They actually want to do that. And people ask them for these things all the time. And they set aside, they have budget to do it because it's marketing, right? And if I can get 5 people or 10 people to come into my place and sample my wares, that's a good day. So just something to remember. My childhood philosophy, all they can say is no, right? And if they do, no body parts will fall off. Now, next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall. And I didn't write that about the panty raid either, so I'll let you decide who that was. The truth in the Bible is a gift from the grace of God, and our goal is to reflect this gift. Bra Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for the Word of God at BrahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive absolute truth extracted from the Bible by our gracious pastor. Believers, in turn, are free to express their appreciation for this grace gift by giving of their time, talent, and treasure. So I was thinking about looking through God's eyes, and it seemed impossible, and it made me feel small. I mean, think about it. Billions of people over thousands of years, and God thought about each one of us on the cross. Surely I must have been just a glimpse in his mind, right? Actually, this is false, because if I'm having these thoughts, I'm not really thinking through God's eyes. I'm still looking through my eyes. I'm seeing through limited human eyes, But if I really think about what I know the essence and character of God to be, I realize that his view is limitless. God's view has no boundaries. He loves the unlovable. He gives to the unworthy. He thinks of others before himself. Wait, loving, giving, and thinking of others first, that's only possible if you're God, right? Unfortunately, that's true. Only God can take care of more than himself. But wait, we have direct access to God, don't we? So we must be able to put others first, as well as having the confidence that God will give all of us what we need. We can have an absolute confidence through our union with Christ that gives us direct access to the unlimited resources of our gracious God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 prove that we can confidently put others first by giving our time, talent, and treasure to this ministry because, as it says, God has already lavished us with riches. Some other words for lavished are smothered, heaped, showered, loaded. He didn't just give us ramen noodles. He gave us a 10-course meal. So give to this ministry knowing that God has lavished you with resources and that they are truly limitless. Remember, you must each give, must each decide in your heart how to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So I'll end in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us the confidence by revealing your true nature and essence. Thank you for showing us the perfection that exists even in seemingly dreadful situations. I pray that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened so that you will know that what is the hope of your calling in Christ, what are the riches of the glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. I pray this without ceasing through the power of the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen.
Because your love is better than life, our lips will glorify you. Come on now. Hallelujah.
Your love is everlasting. It's an everlasting love. Your mercy is as new as every rising of the sun. And your
back. I don't know what you guys did. I don't know whether the deacons came around or whatever, but remember that you know, if you want privacy, you can just go drop it in the box in the back of your offering. I'm surprised Deacon Denny didn't take advantage of the word lavished. As he said, it means showered, and I figured that he would have said that Elliot needs to be lavished, but, you know, he just took it easy on him, so that was really nice. All right, today's study, God's unconditional love for us promises a future of glory. God's unconditional love for us promises a future of glory. The Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration. And it is a commemoration of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'Tetelestai, it is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." When the Lord finished the work that provided for our so great salvation, he dismissed his human spirit into the care of God the Father. His body went into the ground and his soul went into the compartments of Hades to announce the victorious and strategic proclamation that he had won the creator-creature conflict. And it was the finish of a 33-year ministry on earth. And it was the finish of your personal sins being held against you. The Lord's finished work on the cross removed the barrier to relationship between the creator and his creatures and introduce the possibility of a glorious future for all mankind. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "He himself," a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body, in his true humanity on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature, and so that we might live to righteousness, to live within the sphere of righteousness, to live with his absolute righteousness. For by his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. The Lord's Supper is a chance to bring to our consciousness, if only for a moment, two significant things: crucifixion and resurrection. The evidence of the Lord's unconditional love demonstrated to us. So regarding the Lord's Supper, we are commanded, "This do in remembrance of me." We are to keep on doing this in memory of him. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross. And our look back at the cross is fresh for us since we just celebrated Crucifixion Day and Resurrection Day a couple of weeks ago. And as we look back to the cross, the Lord wants us to remember how much he loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "The one who does not love unconditionally does not know God, for God is unconditional love." One result of the Lord's work on the cross is highlighted in Romans chapter 4. For those of us who chose to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. And the fourth chapter of Romans is all about justification by faith. We are declared absolutely righteous at the moment of salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "But to the one who does not work for salvation, but instead believes in him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "who justifies the ungodly," who justifies the unbeliever, that person's faith, the one who does not work for salvation, that person's faith, faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, is credited as absolute righteousness. And absolute righteousness is the admission ticket to heaven. Now, as a result of the cross, then, our sins are forgiven once and for all time. It is finished. Tetelestai. The forgiveness of sins is an established fact. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds, whose rebellion has been forgiven, and whose sins have been covered." And if your sins have been covered, you certainly don't have to cover them yourself. They were covered by the immutable one, the unchanging one who hung from a cross. Your lawless deeds have been forgiven. They are covered. So blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not ever again take into account. And who is that? Who is that one whose sins the Lord will not ever again take into account? Who is so blessed? Whosoever, correct. All mankind. All mankind. There's no one who's ever come to this planet whose sins were not covered. When someone loves us, and they show us, and their love for us is unmistakable, we realize their love is an established fact. And it's funny, our typical reaction when someone loves us as an established fact, we get overwhelmed, we get uncomfortable, we don't really know what to say, we don't always know what to do with this gift of unconditional love. Truly, there is nothing to say. We simply need to accept the love. And when we believers in Christ look back at the established facts of crucifixion and resurrection, our task is simple. It is to accept these established facts as realities in our lives. Our God wanted to give us gifts, and He did the work to provide the gifts, and we merely accept. And this is what we celebrate at each Lord's Supper. The established facts that pertain to a Lord who demonstrated His unconditional love for us. For while we were sinners, laying down His life for us. And He only asks us to accept what He has done for us and to remember. And so therefore, following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ on a regular basis. We eat to remember who He is, His person. We drink to remember His work at the cross, the voluntary sacrifice He made on our behalf, and we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, "For I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being My body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this for the purpose of remembering Me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, representing His death on the cross, also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in the sphere of My blood, in spiritual and physical death. Keep on doing this, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, please enjoy the bread and the cup. And as you do, we'll listen to the Lord's Supper song, "Give Thanks."
For us, and now.
5-minute break.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans. What a great book. Romans. Chapter 5, verse 1. I'll just read you 1 to 11. I think we got a little time here. It says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, the whole subject of the fourth chapter, we, believers in Christ, have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, in the Greek, you got to know the Greek to know how absolutely amazing that is. Do you have to get the Greek? The Greek can illuminate some things. You don't have to read the Greek. That's one of the most amazing passages that was ever written in any language. So Romans chapter 5 has been our focus for the last couple of Lord's Suppers. And it provokes some questions for reflections like this. Do you live in the sphere of God's peace? A couple of months ago, I asked you, do you live in the sphere of God's peace? Here's what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, having been justified by means of faith. And what does it mean to be justified? By being legally declared by God to be in the sphere of God's absolute righteousness in the past. We believers in Christ now have peace, irene, with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God has nothing against you. Yes, we live in the sphere of God's peace. You live in the sphere of God's peace because God has given you absolute righteousness. And somewhere under that big dome of peace, you reside. And everywhere you go, that dome of peace is surrounding you. Why? Because as a result of the cross, God has nothing against you. This is as powerful a statement as is the statement, God loves you unconditionally. So when you look back at the cross, you must see God's peace with the eyes of your soul in your past. The Lord Jesus Christ is your advocate now, and he intercedes for you right now. But he settled all matters concerning you at this cross with which we look back to. And it is an established fact that your sins were fully judged at the cross, so that you can rest in this peace. Tetelestai, it is finished. When you are not at peace, you are anxious. That's a form of unbelief. It is you rejecting the truth of what God's word has to say about what is true for you as an established fact. And if you become anxious, that does not eliminate the established fact that you have God's peace and that you live within the sphere of it. It simply means that in the sphere of this peace, you like acting like you don't have that peace. Another question for reflection is this: do you live in the sphere of God's grace? Do you live in the sphere of God's grace? Romans chapter 5, verse 2a tells us about our presence, our present. Romans 5, 1 tells us about our past, peace established at the cross. Romans 5, 2a tells us about our present, and that is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom additionally we have obtained our introduction, our direct access to God by means of our faith that we expressed in the past, into this sphere of grace in which we stand right now. So the answer is yes, we live in the sphere of God's grace. We live right underneath a big dome of peace. We live right underneath a big dome of grace, which means that you have the freedom to make mistakes. Grace is a playground of freedom in which you are free to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, knowing the whole time that God accepts you and that he loves you unconditionally and that he forgives you and that it is his will to give everything to you. What is grace? Grace is a free gift given to all mankind by the Creator as expressed by his actions of extending mercy, loving kindness, salvation, and divine assets to his creatures. A dimension of divine thought in which God meets human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. It's a divine thought process that underlies God's entire viewpoint of unconditional love for his creatures. God's grace makes it clear that he is totally for you. Therefore, no one and nothing can be successful against you. When we look back at our past, we have the hope of peace. When we look at our present, we have the hope of grace. But what about our future? Question for reflection, do you live in the sphere of God's glory? When you look to the future as a believer in Christ, you have the hope of glory. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2b. And we exult with inward confidence in the future hope, the confident expectation of the glory of God. What does it mean to have the glory of God in your future? Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our Zoe life, our resurrection life, is revealed, then you believers in Christ also will be revealed with him in glory. So you will be reflecting the very essence of God when he reveals himself. We are invited to a guaranteed future within the sphere of God's glory forever and ever. So in the past, you were placed into the sphere of peace. In the present, you exist in the sphere of grace. And in the future, you will exist in the sphere of glory. So do you get it? That you will never be out of the sphere of God's magnificence for you. You're always surrounded by God as a believer in Christ with peace, with grace, with glory. Because of this guarantee, you can count on a glorious future in God's presence. John chapter 17, verse 22, the Lord's Prayer for the church age, is where our God promises you this. He says, the glory which you have given me, O Father, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have given to the church age believer. In our glorious future, we will never again come short of God's glory. Remember Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which discusses your past as an unbeliever. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, as unbelievers, we fell short of the glory of God. As believers, we exult with a joyful inner confidence of a certain future hope that we will live in God's glory, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27 say this, of this church I, Paul, was made a minister according to the dispensation from God that was bestowed on me for your benefit, the church age, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, the mystery of the church age, but has now been manifested, that is, made clearly visible to his church age saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? Christ indwelling you, the hope, the absolute confidence of your future glory. Wherever you go, God goes. God's glory is God's essence. And you were created, believers, to be a reflection of his essence. And that's glory. You were created to reflect God's essence. Today, we struggle with that. In the future, that will be all we do. We will exult in glory because we will be exact reflections of our God's essence. God promises us this. And his gifts are forever. John chapter 14, verse 16 says this, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will ask God the Father, and he will give you a helper, a paraclete. And God the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. But you could lose it if you don't confess your sins. Is that what it says? No. You can't say it. You can't lose it. Forever. Forever. If God says forever, does he mean sometimes? No, he does not. As a result, you can make this proclamation, believers in Christ. Because I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I were you, I would get this and post it on my mirror and read it every day. You can read this proclamation. Because I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone at a moment in time, I can look back at the cross and I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I am at peace with God, fully forgiven. I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I have a grace in which to stand and my mistakes will never again be counted against me. And I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I will live in glory at a future time because I know that the best is yet to come in my life. I don't believe you heard me. I don't believe you heard me, so I'm going to read it again. Amen?
Amen. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Here's what our God says to you. Because I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone at a single moment in time, I can look back at the cross and I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I am at peace with God, fully forgiven, and that he will never hold anything against me. I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I have a grace in which to stand and my mistakes will never again be counted against me. And I can accept as an established and irrevocable fact that I will live in glory at a future time because I know that the best is yet to come in my life. Now, when we believers in Christ look back at the established facts of crucifixion and resurrection, our task is simple. It is to accept these established and irrevocable realities in our lives. And no matter how weak our walk, no matter how ignorant of the truth, our God and Father looks at the blood of Christ at the cross and has decided that he is fully satisfied with us no matter what. Can you accept this established and unchangeable reality in the midst of your circumstances today? I invite you to think about that. Closing song, What Held You on the Cross?
Getting to know you more, I've given you my life, you lay down your life for me, a death without a fight, you hung there on the cross, your spiritual death set me free, the picture's clear, the Holy Spirit's help me to see what was it that led you to that truth? What made you make the sacrifice to save a wretch like me? I know it's true. I know that you are fully God and fully man. You've made it clear to me. You've helped me to understand what held you on the cross when you could have walked away. I believe in the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. Separation from the Father, Lord, you chose to bless and trust. Your justice, grace, and love for me is what held you on the cross. You saw me, everything about me. You always known. You knew my life would be in darkness, but you and you alone would come to me as the face of God in all humility. You said it is finished when you became a sin substitute for me. I believe the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. What held you on was more than just a name. In separation from the Father alone, you chose to listen to Christ. Your justice, grace, and your love for me. What held you on the cross? I don't deserve your mercy still. You love me just the same. You died and rose again, and I will forever and ever and ever praise your name. What held you on the cross when you could have walked away? I believe the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. What held you on the cross was more than just a name. In separation from the Father, Lord, you chose to pay sin's cost. Your justice, grace, and your love for me is what held. And your love for me is what held you on the cross.
That's what I'm talking about. See, I don't know what God thought of you, but I know exactly why he stayed on the cross when my sins were coming across. Because he's crazy about me. Now, what do you think he was thinking about you?
Same thing.
No, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
Actually, he loves me better.
Yeah, probably. You know, the bigger sinners need more love. I'd take you to that verse if I have to. Oh, I know that verse too. No, think about that for a second. He never even considered. I was thinking as I was sitting there, that sometimes you say, okay, I want to be on the bike, the exercise bike for 60 minutes. And about that third minute, you're thinking like, 57 more, really? Right? But he never had that thought. Never had that thought. Never considered once getting off that cross. Never considered once violating by committing a personal sin what he came to the earth to do, which is to pay for you personally, so that you personally could have eternal life and could have a relationship with him. And when you think about that, that's a kind of amazing, that's almost impossible to hold in our little minds, honestly. Why did he do it? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Think about that moment. Think about that moment when you're going to be standing in the presence of his glory, blameless. For a moment of shame. Is that what it says? It says blameless and with great joy. We hear that every week. That's your reality. When you stand in front of your Savior, you're going to be blameless, holy, a saint, absolutely righteous, and with great joy. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for all you did for us. Thank you for the intricacy of your plan, which took into account every single thing that needed to be accounted for, including our free will. And thank you, in spite of the times when we use our will against ourselves and against you, that you still give us the grace to make mistakes and to recover. And you continue to direct us and nourish us and love us unconditionally as we grope our way through this life, trying to find you and your word and the path that you've given us. I pray that the people who are on the other side of this message not only receive this magnificent truth as an established fact, but they pass it on to everybody they love, so that all people may know the wonder and the riches and the glory of you. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.